Recording. Mike's hair looks great.
All right. So, it's Easter. So I'm sure a lot of you thought I might do an Easter-themed talk. I do resemble an egg in some ways, but I couldn't think of a good enough Easter talk, so I decided to talk about Samson. And related to the egg issue, I thought you might think, well, Mike has no business talking about Samson, because he doesn't really understand the whole big thing about Samson. So, I couldn't find a jawbone with two-day shipping on Amazon, so I got this, which I feel confident, I feel filled with power, I feel like I have the gravitas needed for this talk now, and I hope that comes across when I'm talking to you today. So, Samson's parents, like we talked about a little bit earlier, they were surprised. His wife thought she was barren, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, you know what? You're going to have a child, and not only that, there are very particular things you need to do when you raise this child, because he has a great destiny ahead of him. Right? He's got something important going on. So before birth, God had a plan for Samson. Decided, there's a plan for this guy, here's what we're doing, just like he's got a plan for all of us. Right? God has a plan for every one of us from before we were born. People who are not born yet, God has a plan. God's got everything mapped out and figured out. And one of the things that they talked to his mother about was, no wine, no fermented drinks, and once he's born, a razor will never touch his head, because he's going to be a Nazarite, he's going to be dedicated to God. And a little bit later, in Judges 14, it says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah, now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. So at this time, things are not great for the Israelites. And at this point, a little later in his life, God again intervened in Samson's life. He set this up to where he have occasion to confront the Philistines. He furthered his plan through Samson to help the Israelites. So, continuing on in verse 5, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward them. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass, and in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and there Samson held a feast, as was customary for young men. When the people saw him, they chose 30 men to be his companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to steal our property? And then Samson's wife throws herself at him. She's hysterical. She's crying. She's very concerned, obviously, because they've threatened her family. And he begs her to give him the answer to the riddle. And he says, I haven't even talked to my mom and dad about it, but okay, I will tell you. He asked a little bit, before he said, I'm not going to tell you again, and she cried for 7 more days. She cried and cried and cried, and it was just very upset, and eventually he broke down, and he told her the answer to the riddle. And before sunset, on the seventh day, the man of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved the riddle. Because, and it's one of Bob's favorite verses, it's a good one, because she went to those men and told them, because she was feared for her family's life. Now, this isn't the last time that Samson will have an issue where he's betrayed by a woman he's fond of. And I'm not sure he quite learned anything from this time, but we'll see. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who would explain the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. And Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast. So again, we see where not only is he chosen, but God does give Samson great power. Supernatural power. He defeats a lion barehanded. He kills it with his bare hands. Killing, not actual bare hands, but nothing in them. Unarmed. That'd be impressive. But again, it shows, you know, just to kill a lion with a weapon would be remarkable, but he has it with his bare hands. So it's clear that he has supernatural strength, right? He's very, very strong. We also learn in these verses that he enjoys being clever, right? This riddle of his, you know, he just does it on a lark. It's not as if God commanded him to give this riddle, but Samson likes to be clever because he gives a riddle that's very, it was impossible for the men to solve. They kind of had to cheat. And we also learned he doesn't take losing very well. They figured out his riddle, and what did he do? Well, he went down to town and he killed 30 men, stole their clothes, and said, here's the clothes you wanted. So he's not a man who takes losing well. He strikes down 30 men. And then at the end of the verse, it talks about how his wife was given to one of his companions. Now later, Samson goes back. He says, later on, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, I'm going to my wife's room. But her father would not let him go in. I was so sure you hated her, he said, that I gave her to your companion. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Now, Samson's not happy about this at all. Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and standing grain together with the vineyards and olive groves. When the Philistines asked who did this, they were told Samson, the Timonite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. He then went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Edom. So the Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The people of Judah asked, why have you come to fight us? We have come to take Samson prisoner, they answered, to do him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Edom and said to Samson, don't you realize the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? And he says, I did what they did to me. I'm simply here to get back at them. They've harmed me and mine, and I'm going to get back at them. And they say, well, here we're going to take you to the Philistines. We're going to give you up to the Philistines. And he says, promise me you won't kill me, and I'll go with you. I'll let you turn me over. And they agreed. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone I have killed 1,000 men. So we see here where the problems escalate between Samson and the Philistines. You know, things keep getting worse and worse. We also see again Samson's anger and maybe some cleverness. It's an odd thing to do, but it does seem clever how he handled the foxes. He gathered up 300 foxes, tied them up in pairs, lit their tails on fire, and then let them run loose in certain areas. That sounds like a really odd thing, but in its own way kind of clever. But a man who's dedicated, that would have taken a lot of effort and a lot of time, and he really wanted to get them good. You know, that's the thing about Samson. He really likes to be clever, and unfortunately he also has a big thing about vengeance. Now he does allow himself to be captured. And then again, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord came on him. He was given great strength, and with a donkey's jawbone, he killed 1,000 men. right? To kill 1,000 men is insane. Any way he does it, doesn't matter, but that's a remarkable thing he did. Not necessarily a good thing, but a powerful thing. And after this great victory, he led Israel for 20 years, or the Israelites for 20 years. So I want to take a moment to say, is Samson a powerful man? Yes. He was granted strength by the Lord to do very impressive things with great power. But is he a good man? No. He's not a good man. He's angry. He's vengeful. He's proud. These aren't great traits for a man of God, but he is still being used by God because God has a plan. And now we come on to the probably best known story of Samson, which is his interactions with a woman named Delilah. So, sometime after this, it doesn't say how long, but sometime later, I'm assuming at least 20 years later, he meets with a woman in the Valley of Sorek, and her name is Delilah, and he falls in love with her. And the rulers of the Philistines, wanting to get Samson, go to this woman and say, "We need you to figure out what the source of his power is. We need to know what the source of that power is so we can defeat Samson, so we can destroy him. He's done so much to us, so we need to get him." And they also offered some money, an amount of silver. And she agrees, because immediately she starts trying to get that secret from Samson. In Judges 16:6, it says, "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued.' Samson answered her, 'If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man.'" Now, this should set off all kinds of red flags for Samson. His lady friend just asked, "Hey, how could I weaken you and tie you up?" That's suspicious, to say the very least. If Sam came to me and said, "Hey, Mike, if I want to, I don't know, beat you over the head with a club while you're sleeping, what would be the best way to go about that?" I would be concerned. I'm slightly concerned when she gives me anything with sugar because it does make me a little sleepy. So the rulers of the Philistines brought her these bowstrings and said, "Okay, you told us this is what you need. Here you go, Delilah. We'll go and we'll be ready to get him when he's sapped of his strength." So Samson falls asleep. She ties him up with these bowstrings, just like he said, and she yells, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He jumps up, breaks his stuff, no problem, right? Doesn't seem to impact him at all. Now, this isn't the first time, like we mentioned earlier, that Samson has dealt with a woman who's trying to get to know his secrets. And at this point, I'm not sure if Samson just doesn't learn from previous issues or if he's just really arrogant. Again, this is kind of him feeling like he needs to be clever. I lean towards he's just kind of arrogant. He thinks he's being funny. He thinks he's being clever. Like, "Aha, I tricked you. That's not it at all. I'm still totally strong. You can't stop me. I'm Samson." So Delilah wasn't happy about this. She said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." And he said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So guess what? Delilah said, "Okay, I believe you this time." She gets these ropes, ties them up, same thing. "Hey, the Philistines are upon you." He jumps up, snaps off the ropes as if they were nothing. So I guess that wasn't it either. So a second time, Delilah tests Samson's words. So surely he's seeing the trend here. And at this point, I almost feel confident it has to be Samson being arrogant. I mean, I would be surprised if he was this dumb. He knows what's happening. He can't be this stupid. So it's just him saying, "I'll play this little game. I like showing off how strong I am. I'll tell her this, and then guess what? I'll surprise her." So Delilah said to Samson, "All this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." So he tells her another story about weaving 7 braids of his hair and putting it into a loom and tightening the loom up. Really involved thing. So at this point, I think he's really enjoying this because he is really pulling her leg here. He's telling her all these fancy, complicated things he has to do now. It's not just tie me with some rope or some bowstrings. It's do all this, get my hair, put in a pin, put in a loom, all these things. She believes him. She does all this. Same thing. The Philistines are upon you. He jumps up, pulls the pin in the loom, and it falls apart. So for this third time, she's tricked again. And she is again not happy. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. Now, this is the same thing that happened with his wife. She nagged him and nagged him and nagged him, and Samson just can't take it. Now, at any time, Samson could tell her no, right? He doesn't have to tell her these elaborate stories. He could just say, I'm not telling you. You know, he could be honestly and just say, you know what, I don't trust you, and I don't want to tell you, I'm not going to tell you what the secret of my strength is. So forget it. He could have done this the first time, the second time, the third time, any time he could have done this. But again, he likes playing this little game. He likes showing how clever he is. And he knows, or he must know, whatever she or he tells her, she'll do it. Three times in a row, the exact thing he said, hey, if you do this, it'll work. She did that. So he must know whatever he tells her, she'll do. Because that's the pattern she's established. There's no other reason he would believe otherwise. So what does he do, knowing all that? He decides to open up. In 17, he says, so he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he told her everything, she sent word to the ruler of the Philistines. Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. So she began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Now that ending part there where he says he didn't know the Lord had left him. Now here's a guy who has never had a haircut his entire life. Right? No razors ever touched his head. Now I wake up and I've been bald for years and I still realize it when I wake up and I'm a little sad about it. But Samson must have known. He wakes up. He must feel something's different. Maybe his head's a little colder. Something. He must recognize, A, because you just have that feeling. You know, the hair is gone. And B, he knows Delilah's going to do exactly what he said. He must know, because again, this is the 4th time and every time she's done it, so why would he be surprised that she's done it again? But his strength did leave him. So I guess the question that I want to think about here for just a moment is, you know, the common belief of that story is Samson's hair is his strength. Is his hair really his strength? The verses never actually say that. The only person who ever says the hair is the source of his strength is a Samson himself. You know, they do say, don't shave your head because you're going to be a Nazarite, but that's about his devotion to God. God, the angel, his parents, no one ever says to Samson, hey, listen, your hair is the source of your strength. Now, I do believe Samson believes that because he breaks down and it says he finally told her his real secret. He told Delilah the truth. So Samson believes it. But if Samson truly believes that, why would he give that information to Delilah? If he truly believes the hair is his strength, why would he give that information up? I don't think he does at that moment. Or, alternatively, Samson starts to believe his own hype. Samson starts to believe that, you know who the source of the strength is? It's me. I'm really strong. Look at all these clever things I've done. Look at all these people I've defeated. Maybe it's really me. Maybe it's not God who's given me the strength. Because that is the source of his strength, right? It's not the hair. It's God. When it talks about him striking down the 30 men in Ashkelon. When he struck down another 1,000 with a donkey's jaw. When he beats the lion barehanded. In all those instances, it specifically says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. So when he completed these great feats of strength, it was the Lord who was giving him that strength. Not his hair, certainly not Samson himself, but God. If God wanted Samson to have strength, do you think anything really could have stopped that? Anything they'd done to Samson, shaved his head, cut his pinky toe off, whatever they'd done, if God wanted him to have strength, Samson would have it. But since Samson chose hubris, and he chose hubris over and over and over again, God decided to leave him to show him some humility. And he was certainly humble. In 21 it says, "Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they sent him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." So a bunch of Philistines, the rulers of the Philistines, gather around and they basically have kind of a celebration. "Hey, we've got Samson. We finally caught the guy. God, you know, our enemy has been delivered into our hands by our God." They're not talking about the God. They're talking about their God, a pagan God, basically. And they praise their God, saying, "Oh, look, Samson's been delivered to us. Look at this guy who did all these bad things to us. We've got him now." And they said, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." And he was called out of prison to perform for them, to mock him. "When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars of which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived." So regardless of what he believes earlier, at the end there, Samson accepts and believes what the true source of his power is, which is God. God gave him that strength, and he asked God for that strength again. And God gave that strength to him. He worked through him one last time, killing 3,000 Philistines. So total, he's killed over 4,000 Philistines. He's done a lot in his time. And this furthers God's overall plan to help the Israelites. But imagine how much greater Samson would have been, could have been, how much better off other people would have been if Samson had been a more godly man. If he had made better choices. If he had followed God's path more closely. Because like we talked about, he was an angry man, a vengeful man. And that led him to cause some serious mistakes. All our skills, all our abilities, you know, whether it be the great strength of Samson or someone's ability for kindness or compassion or empathy or just working with their hands, anything they can do to help, those are all gifts from God. And like with any gift, we get to choose how we use those skills, those abilities, those gifts. But the important thing to note is, just like with Samson, even though he wasn't a great man, a good man, God used him in the furtherance of his plan. God has a plan set up. And I believe that God's will is going to be done. Whatever plan he wants to happen is going to occur. And because he gave us free will, I get to choose, we get to choose where we want to be in that plan. We get to pick what side we want to be on, how we want to be utilized by the choices we make in life. Because God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us to accomplish anything. He's all powerful. But he wants us. And that's something that speaks to his great love. You know, all throughout life, we have relationships where we're not sure if the person is with us or friends with us or in a relationship with us because they want us or because they need us for something. I'm sure we've all had those friends or loved ones who we sometimes think, "Man, am I just providing something for them? Is that why they're friends with me?" But we don't have to worry about that with God, because we know God doesn't need us. There's nothing God needs from us at all, but he wants us. And that's a powerful thing to think about. So the only question I have, the only choice that matters, is if I am going to work for God or against God. Am I going to choose a path that furthers his will and make myself part of his plan in a positive way? Or am I going to be someone like Samson who has a bad ending, but still used for God's plan? Do we want to have a bad ending? do we want to be one of those negative examples? I mean, because there's plenty of those in life. We can become those, or we can become something positive, something great. You have a choice today. You have a choice every day you get up. That choice of whether I'm going to be on God's side isn't a choice you make and then you're done. You make it every single day. And the choice you have today is if you need to get yourself back on the path of following God, if you need to right yourself, if you need help with anything of any kind, you can choose today to come forward during the invitation song and ask for that help. And I would fully encourage you to do so. All right.
service,
and then afterwards we'll have some egg hunting for the children. Should be a good time, so everyone is welcome to stay and partake of either, both, all around. Should be a great time. Any other announcements? All right, if not, Josh, could you word of prayer and go and include the food in the back, please?
Let us all bow our heads. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we had to come this morning, for the songs and the words that were given to us, that we could dwell on this, and hopefully everyone was uplifted and has now re-strengthened their bond with you. watch over us as we go about our activities today. We hope that we can please you with our fellowship, and everyone can enjoy themselves and find pleasure in what we partake of. We ask that you bless the food in the back, and we thank you so much for all those who have contributed and their willingness to help all of us to come together in that fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.